Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff 15. Got thrown a curve before I hit the record button. Sorry about that. So, it's me and Shahid. We took a week off last week. Possibly one of the worst weeks to take off because of all the news. So, we're going to try and stick with what happened last week and what got announced this week and all that good stuff. As it pertains to the DC Comics movie universe. Ugh. So, hello. How you doing, Shahid?
I am doing fine, recuperated from my workout from my new Cambodian trainer. So.
Oh, she's Cambodian?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Was she born here?
She doesn't have an accent or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
She's Americanized.
Oh, that's no fun.
But yeah, nothing says fun like having some 130-pound Asian tell you to hit beast mode doing shoulder presses. So,
what time do you go to the gym in the morning? Because I'm up, and I'll see your post, and I don't think anything of it until I realize it's 5:30 here, and I'm seeing a post from you from an hour ago.
Yeah, I normally get there around 4:45 our time, so that's 5:45 your time. So I won't, and I've worked out for about an hour. I have to be at work by 7. So,
when do you go to sleep?
I normally go to sleep around 10 Central, maybe sometimes 11. I only stay up late like on weekends. Like I'm an old man now, so I go to sleep. Usually whenever a show goes off, I'm watching Discovery ID. By like 10, I'm out. And then I'll wake up like 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Jesus.
That is not the best, not part of my plan. I like having normal sleep, but ever since daylight saving time started, that crap's been happening. So I've just been taking advantage of it.
Yeah, the daylight savings time's really messed me up this year. Everything feels so much later than it actually is. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we went to the ACC championship game Saturday. We got down there about 6:30, 7 o'clock. It felt like it was 11 o'clock at night because it was overcast as well and just dingy. And yeah, but it's been like that the whole time. It seriously feels like it's time for bed. Yeah. It's only 7 o'clock.
I can just imagine how it'll be when I go to a WrestleMania weekend because I got my Raw ticket too. And I think the doors open like 3 their time. So that's just going to throw my whole. Monday Night Raw in the afternoon just seems so weird. Even daylight saving time, no daylight saving time. So that'll be something.
You're going to be exhausted from hanging your head in your hands, too. Just shaking that head left and right. Saying, I spent all this money for this. All this money for this, huh?
Yeah, I know you're just chuckling at that. And too bad I can't use that as a damn tax. I want you to have a tax write off, but Stunt Brain hasn't reached that level yet. So.
God. Well, I actually, while we were chatting, I saw something interesting on the TV. And for some reason, my connection's crawling. I was watching a Corona commercial, and it was where everyone's celebrating and having a good old time. And one of the guys, BJ Britt from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was in it. But just as like some common guy, he wasn't like a feature or a focus of it at all. He was just in the background, like partying with everybody.
Yeah.
How old is this commercial? He can't be getting paid that little.
You never know. He might have done it. He might have filmed that a long time ago. Just went to TV and kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know we're not really gonna talk about too much. It's a big ass cast.
Yeah, true.
So,
and he may be dead. I guess we'll find that out later.
Yeah.
So, but we are not here to talk about DC Comics, or yes, we are here to talk about DC Comics. Boy, a week off sure messes you up. We'll get to Marvel later because their casting was revealed, and really not a lot of big names that came out, unless you liked like what 6-episode series from ABC. And the guy that played Khan. So we'll get to that later, probably next time. So this will kind of continue the series we were on before we got distracted the last show. last week, a team or a comic that's I hold close to my heart. They've already appeared somewhat in the formation. Suicide Squad announced their cast last week. And it's a doozy.
That's an understatement.
There's some big names and big surprises in this thing.
Yeah. From director on down, like the first thing I think I noticed was the director they chose, like David Ayer. He did And the Watch. He did Sabotage. He did Fury. And he wrote Training Day. And I think I watched all the movies he's directed. I don't think there's been a comic book director like him that's done a comic book movie. Like, he just missed, you know, if I could describe one word for him, it'd be violence. Like, that's his thing, you know. And did you see Sabotage?
No, it is in my Netflix queue, and I intended on watching it because I thought it looked okay from the previews a while back. But Arnie's hair was just all sorts of messed up.
I won't spoil for you. I will say the previews don't match the movie. Like, it's a weird movie. Like, I still don't know if I would call it a good movie or a bad movie, but it's it's not boring. I'll tell you that much. There's a lot of stuff going on. Okay. But just, you know, having that selection for the director, and then I know we joked around with the cast. We first say, oh, you know, they're going to get Will Smith and Tom Hardy and blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on now. Like, Will Smith's going to do a DC comic movie and it's going to be the Suicide Squad. And then, boom, they roll out the cast. And that's the, you know. And it's kind of like they didn't even make a big deal of it. Oh, you know, they got Tom Hardy. They made a big deal more of Jared Leto being the Joker. And it's like, oh, yeah, Will Smith's in it too.
Yeah, okay, so let's go to that. I'll read the cast off for anyone who doesn't know, and if you don't, I don't know how you didn't see this. I don't know why you'd listen to this if you didn't see it. Harley Quinn will be played by Margot Robbie. She was in Wolf of Wall Street. Tom Hardy, famous for Bane and other assorted good movies, is Rick Flagg, a very lesser-known character who didn't survive in the old continuity. Jay Courtney? They actually got an Australian guy to play Captain Boomerang, but I guess they're just calling him Boomerang in this. He was also the blonde-haired guy in Spartacus.
And he was in the last Die Hard movie, and he was in Jack Reacher, and among other things.
Yeah. we'll get to him in a second, I guess. Yeah, Jared Leto as the Joker. Carla Delevingne, I don't know if that's how you say it, as Enchantress. Will Smith as Deadshot. That's a weird one to me. And then Jesse Eisenberg supposedly is going to be Lex Luthor. Now, I know he's in Batman vs. Superman, but he supposedly may have a role in this movie.
Oh, and you're going to mention one more? Like, maybe? Or you're going to leave that?
They haven't cast Amanda Waller yet.
Yeah.
And their choices go from hideous to, oh, okay. Who was it? It was Oprah Winfrey.
Octavia Spencer and what's her face?
Oh, God.
The one that always angry black woman. And I shouldn't say that, but that's, I know this fits a stereotype. Viola Davis.
I'm trying to pull up those three because I want to. I know who Oprah Winfrey is. I know I've seen these two other ladies before. One was in The Help, correct?
Both of them were in The Help.
Oh,
all right. One got one an Oscar for, one got nominated.
Comics fans are such dicks. I looked up. Like Oprah, I looked up Suicide Squad Amanda Waller movie to see pictures of the other two, and they had one of these pictures of Oprah at her fattest, with one of the exaggerated old Amanda Waller pictures where she's just a total tub, right next to it. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess she'd kind of work. I don't know. Now, Okay, now who's the nice looking one?
Octavia Spencer, probably, because Viola Davis looks nice. So
let's see. I don't know why my internet is going slow, so I apologize. Yes, now, I think Octavia Spencer would kind of work, but every picture they show of her, she's smiling or has like a grin on her face. She seems like a happy lady.
She normally plays either happy or tragically sad. Like, I've never seen her in a movie where she's angry. She's always been like, you know, the sun will shine tomorrow type thing. Not to say she couldn't play angry, but...
Well, not necessarily angry, but Amanda Waller, the character, is by the book, straightforward, hard ass, however you want to call it. Not bitchy, not sassy, not
stern.
Right.
You know, if she was a dude, she'd be a hard ass. That's how they would describe her.
Okay, yeah. So now, I can't remember who was the other lady. Now, is she the one that's on How to Get Away with Murder?
Yes, that's her.
Okay. Of the three, just based off of that, if they were going to go with these three, she's got to have it.
Oh, yeah. Like, as far as, like, acting and the close to that character, she could do that in her sleep because she basically plays Amanda Waller in almost every single movie she plays in, because it's kind of like she gets stereotyped because of her look, and she plays, like, someone like, you know, I'm serious about what I do. Don't trifle with me or I'll run you over.
Yeah.
So...
And that's what the character needs, but I've bitched like crazy about the new Amanda Waller and the new 52 is a young, skinny lady. Amanda Waller on Arrow is young and skinny. The DC, was it Justice League United or Unlimited? What was the TV show, the cartoon? She was Amanda Waller that we all know. I wish they would stick with that. Because in the Suicide Squad, look at all these beautiful people they have in this movie.
You don't need one more eye candy to be.
No.
You got enough.
Yeah, she'll just get eaten alive. I mean, you know, as an actress, with this character, none of them are really that generic looking, I suppose, so I guess that wouldn't apply in this. But you've got to have somebody with a demeanor and with a look to them to stand out. So what better way to have the short, pudgy Amanda Waller back?
I know you disagree, and we talked about it. Viola Davis is probably the best person for that role, but I'd rather see Oprah in it, just for the spectacle of seeing Oprah. Because one, she could play a damn tyrant, because she's a tyrant in real life. All that, you know, I smile and I give you a new car crap. Like, yeah, that sounds all cute, but you know, you don't get to be Oprah Winfrey in America without having some Amanda Waller in you in real life.
Yeah, that's very true. Yes.
Yeah. And she's actually a good actress. It's kind of like, you know, you don't see her in a lot of things and a lot of stuff, you know. I don't know how many comic book fans probably watch, you know, The Color Purple or The Butler or something like that. But, you know, it's not like she'd be there. I know it's it's the stunt casting, but it's not like they're putting her in there and she can't act. She can act, and she could probably do that role. It just seemed distracting because it's kind of like you already got Will Smith in there, and then it's kind of like you see a scene with Will Smith and Oprah Winfrey, you're going to be thinking, I'm watching Will Smith and Oprah Winfrey. I'm not watching Amanda Waller and Deadshot. So I can see that kind of concern about, you know, is she too big a personality to play that role? And you believe her in that role.
That's, yes, that would be, I didn't even think of that. But then as soon as you said that, I would actually expect people to go, oh, look, we're watching Oprah, like the show Oprah.
Yeah.
So you're just waiting for Will Smith to all of a sudden start doing his jiving and whatever else that he usually does on the show.
Because I remember when I saw the first Star Trek reboot and Tyler Perry popped out of nowhere. I'm like,
yeah.
Why am I watching Tyler Perry in Starfleet? Like, he's not playing, but like, he wasn't dressed up like Madea, but I couldn't wrap my head around, like, it just seemed, what the hell is he doing there?
That was, I didn't know he was in it. I know it was like a nothing part, really, but when he appeared in that movie, I was like, what the, yeah, wait, why?
Like the movie theater I was in was kind of like, I either heard "what the hell" or people just started laughing.
I heard laughs. Yeah. I would have. I mean, it would have totally ruined the movie. But I would have preferred to see him in some sort of costume, like a futuristic Medea or something. Just something different. It was actually more startling to see him instead of, you know, Medea or, I don't know, does he do other characters? I really don't know.
No, he does but two other characters, but let's keep moving forward. Let's okay. Have a podcast for that.
Well, going with this cast, though, like going back to the pretty part. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's comics, but like Digger Harkness, who is Captain Boomerang. Well, they got it right because Jay Courtney's Australian, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But the way that was portrayed, Boomerang was that he was a coward. He doesn't have any like strong features. He's actually got like the male pattern baldness going. Or, I'm sorry, with a receding hairline. Mm-hmm. And then you got this guy, who, you know, in all of his other movies, hasn't really shown a whole lot of range.
Yeah, it's kind of the most range he showed was on Spartacus, was on a TV show. That's why I was so surprised seeing him in the movie. Like, that's the, like, they didn't even look like the same people, act like the same people. He's in that spot where it's kind of like, we're going to make, like, the, I call it the Taylor Kitsch spot. You know, like every 2-3 years, you find some guy and it's kind of like, we're going to make this guy a star. We're going to put him in as many movies as we can and you're going to like him because he's been in. For somebody that you don't even kind of, and he's like in the Divergent movie too. But for somebody like you don't really name stand, that was kind of like he's been in a lot of big movies. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, why is he in these movies? Like, you know, I saw him in Jack Reacher. He was fine as a villain. I saw him in that god awful Die Hard movie. I don't blame anybody for that. That movie was garbage. He was okay in Divergent, but it's kind of like, you know, he's getting a lot of work for somebody that's kind of not like, you know. When he's in something, he never embarrasses himself, but he doesn't necessarily stand out either. And I don't know if he's going to really stand out, especially with this cast, with kind of the, you know, between, what's a nice way of saying it? You have some prima donnas in this cast, to put it lightly. They're like eating scenery.
Oh, there's a lot of scenery eaters in this. I mean, and that's kind of the problem is Boomerang can't get lost because he's a big character. Like Deadshot's a smaller character. It's just matter of fact, let's get the job done and go. There's not a lot of flash to him. In comparison to Boomerang, who, you know, is a loudmouth, is always complaining the whole time he's doing the jobs. You know, and kind of cocky for no reason because Flash used to beat his ass all the time. So it was a confusing one because they were talking about Ryan Gosling being in this movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I couldn't figure out. I figured he'd be Deadshot. But when they said Will Smith, I remember saying to you, he's like, Will Smith is going to be Bronze Tiger? Like that doesn't make any sense. And then the only other thing I could think of was Black Manta. Mm-hmm. But you can't put that goofy ass helmet if they go with that, if they even use him. You can't put Will Smith under a giant helmet all the time either.
That kind of defeats the purpose. You don't get Will Smith and then hide Will Smith.
Yeah, well...
Only Christopher Nolan gets to do that.
So. Yes. But that's kind of what they do with Deadshot, though. The new 52, he's got some goofy galactic helmet or whatever. It's awful. And in the old one, it was just a mask with his single shot Deadshot, you know, eyeglass. So I wonder, I think Arrow kind of had a decent way around that without putting the mask on Deadshot. Because if you're a villain, do you really need a mask now? I mean,
yeah, well, villains got to go to the grocery store too, but that's a story for another day. it's kind of weird with that whole casting because it's kind of like, you know, Will Smith's been out the limelight for a while because he's been busy messing around with his crazy ass children. So just him being in a DC movie is just odd. But DC's whole thing's kind of like they've gone the reverse of Marvel. Like Marvel's kind of like we'll get these small characters or small actors where they won't cost too much, and then we can build the movie around them. If they get big, we sign up for non-movies anyway. DC's kind of like, we're gonna get the biggest names we can, and kind of like, shock and awe you, because between him and Tom Hardy, that's, and then we've talked, and we haven't talked about kind of like the elephant in the room, because you know how comic book fans tend to be around characters. And I know you probably remember how people talk about Heath Ledger before he did the joke in The Dark Knight, how it's going to be a disaster and blah, 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 and it's going to ruin the role. And then after the movie, it's kind of like, no one else can ever play the role ever. So now you got Jared Leto playing the role.
I got no problem with Jared Leto playing the Joker, though.
I don't, but you know how I'm like, he has that pretty boy look. He has that kind of weirdness about him. And who knew what Heath Ledger had in him before he did it? Nobody say, oh, I saw him in first, I saw him in, what was that movie? The Joust movie.
Oh God, Knight's Tale.
Yeah, like I saw him in Patient of Night's Tale, knew he'd be a great Joker. I'm like, no. And I doubt a lot of comic book fans said, yeah, like he showed a lot of range in Bareback Mountain, so Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. Well,
Lord,
yeah.
mercy.
I mean, it was sort of Bareback Mountain too, so.
Slip of the damn tongue. So I'm always of the idea, like, give somebody a chance before they play the role. But at the same time, I know how provincial people in our what we like tend to be. So that's going to be curious.
But don't you my thing with the Joker is eventually somebody else was going to play him. You might as well get someone who's kind of weird anyways to do it. So all right, good. They got him. And after the whole Heath Ledger thing, wouldn't comic fans just kind of shut up? Like, all right, you got totally proven wrong. And but there are still those guys that are like the too cool for the room people, who still won't admit that Heath Ledger did a good job. There's still those people out there.
I mean, people was too,
Jack
even
Nicholson sucked as the Joker. He was awful. He was old and fat. It was terrible. I despised that, and I
there are
still do.
people that love that portrayal. I just leave it alone. But even after The Dark Knight, people were complaining about the cast. Oh, how's Tom Hardy gonna be Bane? He's too small and he's not Spanish. And how's Anne Hathaway gonna be cat? Like, people complain. It don't matter if you get it right the last time. It's like, what about the next time? Marvel, for the most time, you rarely hear complaints about it, because it's kind of like they get it right enough times. It's like, until they get it wrong, people want to shut up. Deep, for whatever reason, with DC, it's kind of, I can never think of a time where they've done casting, people didn't complain, except for when they did Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern, and look how that turned out.
See, I didn't like Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern at all.
But before the movie
Ugh.
came out, people were saying, oh, he's perfect for the role. He's a nerd. He knows the Green Lantern oath. It's going to be awesome. Like, yeah. And then look what happened. So.
Yeah, I'd as soon as they announced him as Green Lantern, I just thought this is going to be shit. Boy, that was right. Because it was funny you mentioned that, because that's where I was about to say, for the amount of goodwill or how fans should keep quiet because of Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker, that they should also, I guess we're back to square one because of Ryan Reynolds. I didn't think Anne Hathaway would be that bad. Tom Hardy as Bane was kind of a strange choice, because he was from what's that? He was from the Caribbean Republic of Santa Prisca. So when they said Tom Hardy, I was like, wait, what? You know me, I'm a stickler for that sort of stuff. And that's why I guess the Will Smith being cast in like the white guy role, I just kind of went, eh, whatever.
Hey, we need something, so.
That's what what I was messaging you. I just said, why is it this Suicide Squad version is an amalgam of the current and the old one? And on the current team, Harley Quinn's on there with Deadshot. Well, in the old one, Harley Quinn didn't exist, and the Joker was never on the team, period. And that's why – and Black Manta is on the team currently. So it made sense when they were putting these rumors out to have Black Manta on the team, have it be Will Smith, and like I was messaging you, he could tie over into the Aquaman movie pretty easy. And then because Jason Momoa, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes here, you know, people say he's really cool. Well, you know what? Conan sucked.
Yeah, he was – I like him in Bullet in the Head, and people won't give him love from Game of Thrones to the day he dies. Even though he didn't really do that much in that movie.
Thank you.
Sit there and bone Daenerys.
Yeah, what a hard acting job that would be. You have to pretend you're attracted to the girl. You're bending over a rock. Oh, I can do that all day. And then you die unceremoniously. Wait, what? Yeah, no. Yeah, you don't last past season 1, episode 7. So.
And I never saw Battlestar Galactica, so I can't comment on him in that either. But
I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah, he was in that. But Bullet in the Head, he was good in as a villain. He's just got that whole, like I call him Roman Reigns with less definition. He's just got that. He's got a good look. He's got a coolness about him and everything like that. So he looks the part. Yeah, I saw Conan too, and that was, yeah. Well, I kind of felt the same way you felt.
Would you think that they're going to... Oh, Conan? Oh, my God. That was abysmal. I couldn't believe Rose McGowan, who had pretty much given up acting, came out of acting for that movie. She must have some bills to pay. That was... I couldn't believe how bad that was.
Boring. I mean, that was the worst part about it. It's kind of like you got a lot of actors that kind of, you know, chew scenery and, like, would eat up stuff like that. And it was just dull. But
as soon as I saw that he was fighting CGI skeletons or something, I totally lost interest. So it was gonna be a really hard time winning me over, and even with those coming in with a chip on my shoulder, if you want, there was still nothing in that movie that would be anywhere impressive. And then you watch the old Conan, and he's just chopping people's heads off, just banging bitches left and right, just didn't even try to make it make any sense. And I was like, this is Conan.
Yeah, well, the difference between now and then is that they were more liberal and they used cocaine back in the 80s. That's why you see the movies you saw back then. It's kind of like, I can't believe these were big movies that made a lot of money. Like, if you ever waste time, like I've done sometimes, go on Wikipedia and like Google like movies and like see like their box office. It's kind of like, this movie, like I did that one time. I'm gonna go off track a little bit. Like when the Van Damme movie was like Double Impact, when he was playing a twin, and like Hong Kong, it made like $80 million.
Yes,
That had
one of the weirdest sex scenes. He's imagining his cousin banging his girlfriend
with no grab. Like she's grabbing on nothing. Like the hip strength she must have had to pull that off was amazing. Yeah, I remember that's one of my favorite movies. I remember that too.
We saw that in the theater. I remember my friend Dan Bennett. His mom bought us tickets to get Let Us Go In. She used to take us to the video store all the time. And I know we're getting off track, whatever. But we used to go to the video store, and we would purposely try and find the movies that were totally gory or just all like those softcore, awful sci-fi movies. We would always try and find those. But the trick was we'd have to give it to her without her seeing the box. Or we'd have to try and really manipulate, like scan through the boxes and go, well, this sounds like there's going to be titties in this movie. And you just take a chance.
Yeah. Well, boy,
we see some stinkers.
Yeah. Well, like I say, if you're going for the titty factor, if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Van Damme, because it ain't, the sign of the season, it ain't going to be Seagal.
Yeah.
So, unless you want to see his.
I had an interesting thought about him, Seagal, today. I don't know, I'm being dead serious. I have no idea why. Mm-hmm. Wash my face, and I just start thinking, Steven Seagal has only died in 2 movies I know of.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
One was it Passenger, not Passenger 57.
Executive Decision.
That's it. And he kills himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is Machete, the first one.
Where
he kills himself. How do you do that if you're the, like, he's the bad guy? You don't get to choose.
Do not get me started on this because we had a discussion. I'm like, if you ever pay Steven Seagal his movies, the Ultimate Warrior sells more than Steven Seagal. Like, he never loses it. Like, like all his fights are just blowouts in every single movie. And I know he's really trained like that. But if you watch the movie, you're looking at him, it's like the guy can't hit him once. Especially when they I hated that, like Under Siege 2. They made this big deal, like the villain was this badass, and he was trained, and everybody made him out to be how, dangerous he was. As soon as they had to fight, he hit Seagal like once.
I was just
And
going to say, he did get hit once,
he just mopped the floor with like 2 minutes and then, breaks his neck. And I'm like, yeah, Seagal is kind of like, I'm not taking, like a call, like I'm like the rowers. I ain't taking a punch. It's not in the script.
Well, you know what? That's probably considered character growth to him. He's a little bit slower in the second one, so he got one shot in on him.
And machete kills. See, and Rodriguez is good for that, having non-Mexicans play Mexicans. And it was bad enough having Willem Dafoe do it in Once Upon a Time in Mexico. But Steven Seagal is a damn Mexican drug lord walking around with a katana and like a flower shirt. This bad, like fighting slow-mo with Danny Trejo. It's like, I'm watching this in the movie theater and I'm just like, what is this shit? And it's adorable too.
Watching that in the theater, though, that got a laugh when he was the bad guy. That did get a laugh, though. I think that's what was the intent. But yeah, when Steven Seagal popped up as a bad guy, I just started laughing along with everybody else. And then he started speaking like really bad Spanish.
In Spanish with a
Ugh.
half-assed accent, but I give him credit for laughing at himself for doing that because he didn't seem like the type to ever laugh at himself.
Do you really think that he's laughing at himself?
Know what? You might have thought,
Like, is there anything in the history of him ever that you would think he was actually doing that for anything but a serious role? That was his breakout role.
I will say this, he's a man that got as far as he got through sheer lack of self-awareness and belief in himself, and he fell apart because of those same reasons. Like, he walked around like he's like Vin Diesel without self-awareness, basically.
Yeah, but
That's the difference between the
it's got him a pretty good career outside of his manager taking his money and in him apparently keeping women hostage. Was that him?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
That's before he became a cop.
Was it okay? I don't know how we got here, but so I watched that Steven Seagal Lawman when Elise and I first started dating, and she even said, "What the fuck is this?" I go, "Steven Seagal, he's a cop." She was like, "No, he's not." He's like, "Is he actually play cop, like playing cop for this reality show?"
No,
Like, th
I
this
don't
show
know.
here says he's been in the force for 15 years, and I didn't know what to say. I mean, I just, that's it. And she goes, there's no way he's been in there 15 years. I'm like, yes, the show says it is. I mean, I guess it would be public record.
He might have been doing it part time. Like Shaq was like a sheriff somewhere for like, he'd been like for 5 to 10 years. So, yeah, as you have seen through recent news, it ain't that hard to get law enforcement. So, it's not like you're doing a lot of background checks. But yeah, I was watching that. I watched that for one season and him mumbling about, yeah, sometimes with the law, you got to get on the right side because the wrong side got the wolves and blah. Like, what the hell is he
Well,
mumbling
then
about?
I liked when they would go into their pursuit, and all of a sudden he'd be telling the guy who's driving just fine, getting to the location. He'd be like, "All right, Jerry, just be careful out here. People may not be paying attention to us." I got it, Steve. Yeah, being out here and traffic can get bad at any spot, can it, Steve? Yeah, or Jim, whatever the other guy's name was. Sure can, Steve. And you just know he just wants to turn, like, shut the fuck up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. I know how to drive a car. I've done this before. When you're off making Under Siege 2, Electric Boogaloo, I'm out here actually getting shot at. You're not doing anything with fake guns, jackass. Oh, I loved it, but it was early stages of us dating. And I was working like late shift. So I get off at 11, and the last thing I can do with a girl like I'm just dating is put that show on.
How the hell did she marry you?
Ugh.
That's how you guys started. Oh, that's some true love right there.
Yeah, I get there 11:30, and I'd be like, oh, Steven Seagal Lawman's on. Well, the first time I went back to her place just to like hang out, we watched Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. So, you know, it was kind of.
That's when you knew she was the one.
Yeah, no, but I knew that, hey, this works out pretty good. So. But anyways, getting back to how boring or how unproven Jason Momoa is, tying into Suicide Squad. I just thought that having the Black Manta, and Black Manta, for those who don't know, he wears black, has a giant silver bubble head. But then he's also a black guy underneath, which back in the 70s was a gigantic surprise to everybody. Now I figured it was common knowledge, but just in case. Which is why I keep pushing for Will Smith to do that. And then also he can play off of Jason Momoa and hopefully help him carry what's actually kind of a...
Yeah, we might as well jump into it.
Yeah. It's kind of a risky proposition.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing about Suicide Squad. So... Yeah. Is this going to add to the rumors? Because I know it came out Will Smith and Margot Robbie was messing around. Because I know that came out during The Wolf of Wall Street and kind of played out. And I know they have a new movie coming out, the two of them. Like, they're like con artists. I've seen the previews for that. I think that comes out like next year sometime. And they're both in that together. And now they're in a Suicide Squad movie.
Wait, they're talking like extramarital stuff? That sort of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that Wolf of Wall Street saying, you know, but that seems to come out a lot with Will Smith. I remember when he did Hancock, him and, I don't know, Charlize Theron was real touchy-feely, and that came out too, so you never know with Hollywood. But
okay, if you can't have chemistry with Charlize Theron, there's something wrong with you.
Well, there's chemistry, and there's kind of like, you know, she want to have his baby on the red carpet. Like, I watched some of that stuff, it's kind of like... Calm down, lady. The camera's not rolling.
Actually, before we leave Suicide Squad, I guess the big surprise is the Joker was in it, though. Is, you know, Jared Leto playing the Joker, fine. Everyone, when that came out, you know, people were talking about how, all right, he'll appear in Superman, Batman. Then it comes out he's in Suicide Squad, and it doesn't fit. So the only logical part to draw from this is the Joker's got to be the villain, right?
Yeah. They get the Joker, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because Rick Flagg, like I said, is a blank slate. He dies early on in the original series, and then they bring him back, and then I don't really remember what happened after that. But that was a joy of the Suicide Squad, was that they brought in all these goofy Z-list villains and killed them off. But everybody outside of Enchantress here is actually a legit player. You can't kill any of them off. Mm-hmm. So if you're Kara Delevingne...
That name is familiar. What was she in?
Let's see. I was just about... I just downloaded the new Firefox. I wonder if this thing's got some glitches. Has this been bad? She was a voice in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, of course she was.
She's in Pan. Yeah, exactly. She's in Pan. Anna Karina.
I have never seen any of these movies. So
Anna Karina's not out yet.
So I recognize her from modeling. Okay, because I didn't see.
Okay, I take that back. Pan is not out yet. Kids in Love, London Fields, Tulip Fever.
As a mermaid. Okay, she's going places.
Well, she's moving up, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she went from the naughty barmaid to as Melanie, Viola, as herself, as a mermaid, and then Enchantress. Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
you
know? So guess who, which Suicide Squad member is biting the bullet or getting the old head blown off, which is what they do with the Suicide Squad. So... Which actually, back in the 80s, it was your arm. It was not your head.
I seem like the head would be more benevolent. They blow your arm off and you just bleed to death.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Because that happened to... I lost my train of thought. Not... It was like a brutish guy. I wanted to say it was Javelin. It might have been Javelin, but he literally was a guy that threw javelins.
Well, you know,
so
you
deserve to die. What's your superpower? Well, wait, who do you fight? The Flash? Oh, you got some badass superpowers, huh?
Yeah,
I thought javelins.
Cameron and you both talking about the Flash, saying like it's a good, he's a good character, but he has some horrible villains, and yeah, just some of the stuff like how would the I don't even want to go in there. Like, how would he lose? Like, come on now. I know it's a boomerang. A boomerang with physics and everything like that, but give me a break.
Boomerang was always a pain in the ass. Like I said, he was always a coward, so he never put up much of a fight. But he'd always, like, you know, it was also, his high time was the 70s, 80s, before everything had to get gritty and real. So you could have these goofy things where he'd have a sonic boomerang, or exploding boomerang, this and that. So, you know, to counteract Flash's speed, he'd just throw some sonic at him, and not the food. And he'd just fall over, you know, and then he could run off while he gets his wits again. And then he always catches them at the end. It wasn't until they actually killed off the original one and replaced him with his son, who had somewhat super speed, and then he could throw his boomerangs incredibly quick. But then he got killed too, so, and they brought the old one back. Comics. But yeah, but Aquaman... But the Joker, I know, we'll get to Aquaman in a second, but the Joker, I guess he's the villain, or can he play like a Hannibal Lecter type role? Where he's, maybe they introduce Harley Quinn when she's actually Dr. Quinn. Not Medicine Woman, but, no, I'm sorry, it was, what does not, Quinzel, I think it was?
Arlene Quinzel.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Uh-huh.
Useless ass knowledge.
Yeah, this is going to make us money someday. So.
God damn.
Yeah, okay, let's get that. I know we've been kind of dancing around. It's becoming that Transformers joke. Aquaman.
Yeah. So they put the hands of a goofy franchise in the hands of a guy that there's no director. Jason Momoa said he wanted to have Zack Snyder direct his movie. That ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess this movie comes out, it'll be after two Justice League movies and then the Superman Batman movie. So Zack Snyder's gonna be exhausted.
Well, we're gonna be exhausted at him, one or the other. Probably.
I think it's gonna be both.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was directing both Justice League movies. I thought he was just doing the first one.
I don't. That's a story for another day. I don't get how he got that spot.
No.
I mean, I like the first 300. I mean, I like it a lot, but come on. It's kind of like that whole Al Bundy syndrome. I scored four touchdowns in one game. He get a lot of mileage off those four touchdowns in one game. You know, at least M. Night Shyamalan made two decent movies before he started falling downhill. Zack Snyder did one, and I don't know how people feel about Watchmen. It's kind of divisive. Everything else been garbage. Like, Sucker Punch was horrible. The Superman movie was...
I enjoyed the Superman movie till the end.
Not because of him. I liked it because it seemed like a Christopher Nolan movie with some Zack Snyder stuff thrown in. That's how I felt.
And the Zack Snyder stuff was all thrown in at the end of the movie because it wouldn't fucking end. Ugh.
So just seeing him do that, well, whatever. But I'm just indifferent about Aquaman. Like, I'm not the whole, oh, Aquaman's a pussy or he's a chump character. Like, you can make any character decently put work in, but it's between how far down the line it is and then, you know, no director, and I mean, it's Jason Momoa. It's kind of like, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on, and out of all the DC movies, Aquaman's probably one of the least I'm looking, that and Cyborg is probably the least I'm like, I'll see it when I see it. If I don't, I won't. Like, I'm more interested in seeing, like, Wonder Woman now because of who the director's going to be than Aquaman.
See, I would like to see an Aquaman movie because the character was never stupid. It started off as a joke. Somebody else picks it up, and he wasn't in circulation at all. Even in the comics, he kind of got a raw deal after a while, because they had a very good run by Peter David that broke into the history of Atlantis and how he was a king and all this. But they took this issue head on in the new Aquaman series. I mean, it was not very subtle either. Like someone said, "Don't you just talk to fish?" And he just turned. He said something like, "Turned to him." He's like, "Do you understand? I live at the bottom of the ocean. The amount of pressure that takes to live down there. Do you know how strong I am on the surface?" Something like that. And he was like catching cars and throwing them. And it's that sort of stuff that like non-fans or just common folks don't get. Because all you have is that goofy 70s Super Friends show where he's just going doo 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 doo, and all of a sudden the fish jumps out of a faucet and eats somebody. It's like, okay, they didn't know what to do. But in the company of like Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, well, unless you're in water, they didn't have any ideas for him.
Yeah.
And now he carries around a spear or a trident too. And just beats people's ass with that as well. So, you know, they kind of tried to make him like a Superman light. Or really, like the original Superman back from the 30s. Or was it 40s? 40s?
Anyway, before my time.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so the character's not inherently bad, but it's just got a bunch of negative press to overcome. So when they make these Justice League movies and they make his cameo appearance in Superman Batman, they better knock his ass out of the park.
Yeah.
Or just pull the plug on this thing immediately.
You care more about this movie than I do. It's kind of like, whatever. I mean, like I say, and when it's out, I'm sure if we're still alive and we'll still have this podcast, we'll talk about it more then. But it's kind of like this. Like, I know Aquaman, blah, blah, blah. But I feel the same way. At least Namor had that attitude being an asshole. I always liked him for some reason because he was kind of like not really a hero, just kind of a prick. And for whatever you like, the rock with wings, if that makes any sense. But Aquaman, I've never really been a DC fan that much to begin with. So it's like I know the characters, but I don't have a strong feeling about a lot of them. And then this Jason Momoa playing, you know. I'm curious to see how the movie will look, because, you know, a lot of stuff is will be underwater or it's like that. So I'm sure, you know, the scenes will look great with a computer and things like that. But we don't know a director. We don't have a story. We don't know if it'll build up toward anything from the Justice League movie. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. So it's kind of like it's hard to talk about something that you don't know. And the stuff we do know about is kind of underwhelming.
At best. Other than just aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if they're going to have him dye his hair blonde. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know how he would look with blonde hair.
Yeah, blonde eyebrows and all that stuff. That's why I thought it was a weird casting job. I honestly would have preferred Jason Momoa to play Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a better fit. It would have gone along with his other roles that he's had as, you know, Drago? Right? Whatever his name was in Game of Thrones, and Conan, which, because that's what Hawkman is anyways, it's just Conan with wings. And that's essentially it. But I don't know, man. It's a weird one. You have an unproven property with an unproven actor to lead a movie, and his rogues gallery is not very large.
I could name one besides Pollution.
There's Ocean Master, Atlian, Black Mana.
You lost me at Ocean Master. I'm like, I'm missing Shield, the hair pop.
Yeah. Well, and there's part of the problem, man. That's another big part of it. Unless they ape somebody else's villain, which doesn't make any sense. There's really not a whole lot in there.
I think they're going to have to, because it's kind of like, you know, do you really, I'm at the point where it's kind of, do you really need to tell the story exactly how it is in the comics? Because it's kind of like, that got old 5, 10 years ago. Spider-Man kind of burnt that out. So it's kind of like now everything got to be an origin story and stuff. And it's kind of like, you got a general idea. You got to change. As long as it, my thing is, if you build your universe the way you want, make the story make sense based on the rules you set. And if you do that, fine, I'll give you a chance. Because Marvel hasn't necessarily, they've kind of played not fast and loose, but they got their own, they move stuff around. Like, well, this guy's responsible for this, and this guy did this because it makes more sense for our story. And they did that with Avengers type movies, and they did with X-Men movies. Avengers did it better than X-Men, but it's kind of like they got their own universe, they follow their own rules. As long as it makes sense, I'm fine. So if they need to do that with Aquaman and take a villain from somewhere else to fit the universe they'll set 3-4 years from now, and it makes more sense that way instead of having Ocean Master, you don't see me doing the quotation marks, then that's fine too. But do something, because it's like right now I'm like, I'm talking about it because it's on the, because we're talking about the show, and that's it.
Well, you know, it could always be a Fantastic Four sort of scenario. But we'll talk about that next time. For now, we're going to get out of here because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, and we don't want it spoiled by the internets.
Yeah.
So, because there's plenty more to talk about. We've got season, we got mid-season finales for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, Arrow, which we haven't really talked about any of these this season. So, okay, maybe we should do that next time.
And it's going to be its own special edition.
Yep.
So
tune in next time. You can follow us on Stunt Granny on all social media, including iTunes. Subscribe to Stitcher, I guess, is a podcast download. I don't know. I'm Granny Maze on Twitter. I took time out to actually use it for a change today. When Cam Newton died and then resurrected and then broke both legs and then was absolutely fine, then he has a broken back. Instant news.
He went from being decapitated to a flesh wound.
Yeah.
In 3 minutes. I think that's a record.
I did have fun walking around work telling people he died. I was like, did you hear Cam Newton died? And like, and I was just like, whatever. And then my friend Sherrod's like, no, he didn't. I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. He's like, dog.
They said they saw a bone marrow at the crash scene. Oh my God!
Yeah, I found it pretty disgusting, but that's for another show. So I'm gonna get out of here. I'll let you take us out, man.
Okay, for Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and don't talk to the fishes. We are out.